At the beginning of the hearing, a brief presentation will be made by Mr. Lawrence Lank. He will explain the ordinances and the purpose to be accomplished by them. After they have completed that presentation, council will have an opportunity to ask him questions in order to clarify their understanding of the proposed ordinance. After that process has been completed, I will then open the floor to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard concerning this ordinance, you're required to make that statement from the speaker stand. Before making your statement, please state your name and home address. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The first ordinance proposed is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 1 relating to definitions regarding manufactured homes. Before council, they all have a copy of a report of the Planning and Zoning Commission for their public hearings on September 23rd of 2010. During that public hearing, the commission was provided with copies of the minutes of the Manufactured Housing Committee meetings of February 4th, March 4th, and April 8th, all of 2010. This ordinance was summarized. This ordinance addresses the fact that there are three similar but different definitions of manufactured home in the current code. And the new definition of the manufactured home will allow the code to be consistent throughout. But the new definition of an accessory building clarifies language as to exactly what is considered an accessory building and to specify that an accessory building is a detached structure. That the new title and revised definition of a manufactured home park was done for consistency purposes in the code, and that all of the definitions contained in the ordinance amendment were approved recommendations from the Manufactured Housing Committee. Mr. Robertson advised the commission that Section 1 of this ordinance amendment should reference subsection 115-4B and C, not just B, and that each of the different terms referenced in Section 2 and 3 should be quoted individually and not as quoted list as written currently. We had three speakers in reference to this ordinance and questioned the difference between a typical manufactured home and an authorized manufactured home. For example, the units placed in the Baywood community. At the generalist, our Attorney General has made a recent decision to manufacture homes in New Castle and Kent County. That Kent County and New Castle view sheds differently from Sussex County. And Susan Lauchy does not believe that the shed should be considered an accessory building since other jurisdictions do not consider it to be one. Mr. Robertson advised the commission that the county and the majority of the towns and cities in Sussex County define sheds as accessory buildings. There were no parties present in opposition to the ordinance or stating in their opposition. Mr. Robertson advised those parties present that the commission considers and makes recommendations on ordinance amendments and that the county council makes a final decision on whether to adopt an ordinance amendment. At conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment. Mr. Johnson said he would move that the commission recommend approval of this ordinance amendment to Chapter 115. Definitions of manufactured homes based upon the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, this amendment is the result of meetings and recommendations from a manufactured housing committee that included representatives from the county, park owners, and homeowners. Two, this amendment makes needed clarifications to the code to address various different definitions of manufactured homes in the code. It also brings terms such as house trailer, single wide, double wide, mobile home, and trailer used throughout the code under the consistent term of manufactured home. Three, as currently written, the code uses the various terms trailer park, trailer court, mobile home park, and mobile home community. This amendment will bring all of those terms under the name manufactured home park. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following suggested revisions to the proposed ordinance. One, the definition of manufactured home that is being deleted in Section 1 is part of Section 115-4C of the code, not 115-4B, as the proposed ordinance currently reads. It should be revised that the first line of Section 1 states, amend Sussex County Code, Chapter 115, Article 1, Section 115, Subsection 115-4B and C. Two, put each of the deleted terms set forth in section two within individual quotation marks rather than the entire phrase within quotation marks. Since each of the individual terms and not the entire phrase appears throughout the code and need to be replaced by the term manufactured home. Three, put each of the deleted terms set forth in section three within individual quotation marks rather than the entire phrase within quotation marks, since each of the individual terms and not the entire phrase appear throughout the code and need to be replaced by the term manufactured home park. So the motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved for the reasons and with the correction stated, and that motion carried 4-0. And that's all I have in this ordinance.
Did Ms. Lousy say what, if sheds are not accessory buildings somewhere, what they are, what they could be?
That's been a continuous argument of Ms. Lousy in reference that a shed is not an accessory building. Didn't really state what it would be. And she's referring to Kenton County codes. And as Vince, my reference to Mr. Robertson made reference is the towns and cities throughout Sussex and the county has always considered a shed an accessory building. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she was mixing uses with structures or not, because you could have an accessory use that could be attached to your house, but typically a shed is an accessory building.
Yes.
And some people do have their shed actually attached to the dwelling or the mobile, but it is required to meet the primary use of the property, whether it's a dwelling or a mobile, if it's totally connected or physically connected, then it meets the setbacks for that mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So the setbacks could change. Accessory buildings are allowed to be closer to the line than the main structure.
Okay.
Any other questions from council? If not, is there any member of the public that would like to speak in regards to this ordinance? Any member of the public that would like to speak? Yes. Come forward, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What I'm going to say pertains to everything else, okay. This and everything else that's forthcoming. I know that you all should have received an email from Dixie Boucher, who served on the ad hoc committee. She requested that this be read into the record, and so I would like to read her message into the record, and then I'll add my own comments. Dear County Council, as a member of the ad hoc committee, I should like to note, and it is a matter of public record, that I requested before Lawrence Lang present the ordinances after he received them from the legal department back to the committee for review before they be taken any further. How could we be assured that they did include what we discussed and agreed to unless we had the opportunity to see them first? This was not done. After a review of the drafts, I do see definite problems with three of the four ordinances being presented to the council and to the Planning and Zoning Department. I therefore respectfully ask, in the interest of full disclosure, that the ordinances be held up and reviewed by the full ad hoc committee at a public hearing before any approvals or votes are taken. In the ordinance that will be presented to the council for a vote on Tuesday, and this is a quote, to amend Sussex County Code addressing the definition of manufactured home, etc., the word modular has been left out. The Attorney General's office has defined modular homes as manufactured homes, as defined under Chapter 70 of the state code. And under HUD regulations, modular housing is defined and described as manufactured homes. This oversight needs to be corrected before a vote by the council is taken on the ordinance. The other two ordinances that are to be presented to the Department of Planning and Zoning on Thursday should be held back and presented to the ad hoc committee at a public hearing because very specific issues regarding smaller parks and setback requirements were not included, although they were of primary importance during the meetings and discussed at great detail. If my request for a review of them before they were presented had been addressed, this could have been avoided. I do not agree that these ordinances are approved by the committee because they have left out extremely important issues. It appears that this is an attempt to control the committee's findings and circumvent the entire procedure. Please, for the sake of all citizens of Sussex County, hold up on the ordinances and do not vote on them until a review is done. For the record, I do not have any record of an attempt by Lawrence Lank to send these ordinances to the committee members, and they should have been sent to each member before he took it any farther. Thank you for your attendance to this matter. Dixie Boucher, Member Ad Hoc Committee. I would just like to add my two cents for what it's worth. Since these proposed changes were discussed by the committee, they should have been brought before the committee at a public hearing and then, once approved, gone on to the Planning and Zoning Commission and finally to the County Council. This would be the logical procedure to follow, and I respectfully request that it be handled that way. And I thank you all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Sir?
Good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. It has been so long since I've stood here before. Very briefly, my name is John Walsh. I live at 48 Colonial Lane in Rehoboth Beach. And I would like to support Mrs. Hemrick's remarks and add one of my own, actually two. One is I heard before the council actually came back into session, there was a question made about whether or not manufactured or modular housing on individual lots that are owned by the homeowner would apply if this ruling by the Attorney General would apply to them. It is my understanding that it would not. The key there is leased lot. And if a manufactured home is built, for example, like a Barracka home or something on that order is put on a lot that I own and it's my home, Chapter 70 does not apply. The Chapter 70 refers only to manufactured homes on leased land in manufactured home communities. All right, that's one comment. The other comment briefly is that these proposed ordinances were ostensibly the result of a great deal of discussion. Any of you that attended some of those meetings know that sometimes they were quite lively discussions. I believe it is a disservice to the people on that committee not to take their further input into consideration and to avoid possible problems further down the line, the manufactured home, modular home thing being a case in point. This committee and everyone on the committee, the ad hoc committee, were very concerned about doing a good job. And I think they certainly should have had a chance to look, view the drafts of the ordinances and comment upon them before their submission to the county authorities. This would strike me as being courtesy as well as avoiding possible problems further down the line. Both Mrs. Boucher, who sent a letter, and I cannot attest to this directly, but by hearsay, one of the landowners who was also on that committee was, felt left out that he was not given a copy of the proposed ordinances for review as well. Again, I cannot state that, under oath because it's hearsay, but the individual that informed me of it is considered to be pretty reliable. Thank you for your time.
Is that person here today?
No, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, council members.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to these matters? Anyone else here? Yes, Mr. Cole.
to follow up on what Mr. Walsh alluded to, the definition of a manufactured home, how is it possible to have two definitions of manufactured home because of the ownership of the land or the type of ownership? Like, I guess referencing this Department of Justice memo or something, that the Attorney General has said that a definition of a manufactured home is this when it's only on rented land.
Oh, the Attorney General's opinion. The Attorney General gives advisory opinions concerning certain things. And in this case, it asked concerning an interpretation of Title 70 and what applied to Title 70. Mm-hmm. That is the extent of the opinion, is as to Title 70. Okay. What would come under it? That has no relation to our zoning code whatsoever.
So the definition that we're reading here was concerning me, because I think when I looked at a HUD definition later, you know, throughout this memo, there was talk about HUD has a definition, and I know we're talking about changing our code to reflect what is a manufactured home, and HUD basically says it's got to be built on a permanent chassis. And that's the difference, the key, I think, difference, that it's on a chassis, where a modular home like the old Nanny Coke style or whatever it's called nowadays is taken to a site and taken off of a of its wheels or whatever. Okay. In our while we're going through this, are we going to come up with a definition of manufactured home in our code? A little more, I mean, I see what we're looking at here, but I don't know if it really gives a definition. I think we're doing is combining a lot of names under one heading. We defined it manufactured home?
What the attempt was on this specific one was a housekeeping measure. When Mr. Lank went through the code, he saw it just referred to many different things, and it was questions at times when someone referred to one term, were they referring to it as to that part of the code? Okay. As opposed to just generically across the code. And Mr. Lank, you can speak to this better, but that was the main
This basically, really, in the definition, it's just giving us a new title. Wouldn't that be more of?
No, it gives you a definition. It's what we had was two locations or three in the ordinance that gave a definition of a manufactured home.
Okay.
And we needed to be consistent and have just one.
A movable or portable dwelling.
It called it a mobile home and a trailer. And we needed to bring it into current standards of manufactured home.
Okay, but on this second page of our handout here, I guess where it says manufactured home, a structure transported in one or two sections, right, which is built on a permanent chassis and is designed for use with or without a permanent foundation. So in other words, now a modular home is under the umbrella of manufactured home. We don't have now manufactured homes. We don't have modulars. We just have manufactured.
As was pointed out, we don't have a pure definition of what a modular home is.
Well, HUD
modular home is considered the same.
HUD seemed to have one.
But a modular that we consider a modular is not considered a HUD-built home.
Right.
It's a factory-built home, yes, but it comes in, as you said, typically on a trailer, and they lift it off. But there are some modulars, and John and Bobby can attest to it, that are actually built with a steel chassis. But they're designed to sit on a permanent foundation. It's not just a foundation that's fancy skirting. It actually supports the unit.
So if this is adopted, what I'm trying to find out is then all of a sudden now that the modular home we don't have modular homes anymore. We've eliminated that.
We still have modular home. We didn't consider those as part of the manufactured home issue that we're trying to correct.
Wait a minute. But modular homes are part of this definition?
No.
Okay.
Not the way we wrote it. It's considered the same as a dwelling because it's built the same as a dwelling.
Right.
It's not built to HUD code. It's built to an actual building
code. Building code. Right. Okay.
It's just constructed to be towed on its own chassis.
Okay.
And the majority of them are actually, as you said, Mr. Cole, they come in on a trailer. They lift them off the trailer and set them on a foundation.
Right. And they're stick built, and they're built to a code, not a HUD code. But
not HUD code. Dave. Well, whatever the standard building code
is. HUD code's a minimal code for, I guess.
So they change, but there are different types of codes. But yes, but it's not HUD code.
I'm just clarifying what kind of definition we have. So we don't need to put a whole lot of attention, or how much attention do we give to this Department of Justice, or is there any conflict, or is there no conflict?
If we need a definition of a modular to clear the record, then we'd have to add one and have another public hearing to incorporate it, because it's not a part of this public hearing.
Okay.
I thought Lawrence, when we had a block foundation around these homes, these mobile homes, which is double wide.
Yeah.
That those trees are different than those that just had skirting on.
Well, it's called a Class C.
That's Class
they're
C.
Considered,
it's something different.
They're called a Class C dwelling, but they're still a manufactured home.
I know, but we do even have another tax.
It's a method of assessment and motor vehicle only. Doesn't affect the status of what was placed there.
Right.
If it was placed as a double-wide manufactured home, then it's still a double-wide manufactured home, but it's on a solid foundation.
But when it goes to a Class C, it doesn't have a title anymore.
That's correct.
Right,
the title is turned in, so when you convey the deed to the property, the dwelling that sits on that property passes with it, as opposed to a separate title.
Right, anymore. That's the distinction. Okay.
But once it's titled, you never pay any more title fee anyway, so I don't know the real advantage of that.
Well, when you're borrowing money and stuff, lenders are concerned about what they're lending against. That's all.
Mr. Moore, if I'm understanding what you have told us earlier, this Attorney General's opinion really has nothing to do with what we're doing here.
With our code, no.
With our code. This was a definition and given an opinion specifically as to Title 70.
Of the state law.
Of the state law, that's correct.
So that's okay. And the other question I guess I got from somebody, I think one of the speakers or maybe the letter they read, somebody talked about the ad hoc committee holding a public hearing. I didn't think they held public hearings.
The ad hoc committee was a public meeting.
Public
open
meeting.
To the public, it was not a public
but the only
hearing.
Public hearings were your planning and zoning or county council.
Right,
that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay.
But I mean, that's just a matter of a word.
No, but I didn't think I didn't think
they could have intended a public meeting open to the public, which they all were.
Right. But I guess my question was, I didn't think that committee had the
no.
authority, we'll say, to have a public hearing.
Basically, that was a committee that was appointed by this council for a specific purpose of looking at these ordinances right. and then coming back to the council with some recommendations.
And after they met twice, council decided there wasn't a need to meet any more times. So we proceeded with preparation of the ordinance.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions from council? Any other questions? All right. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Anyone else like to speak? Seeing no one else, I would say, Mr. President, that it would be appropriate to close the public hearing on this first ordinance. Proposal.
Without objection. Do you believe that we need to act on this or complete all of the public hearings?
We could act on this
one. Is there any linkage
one?
Between this one and others we're going to hear? Maybe that's a better way to look at it.
Mr. Lank, I believe this one could be acted on. I believe there are two that the planning and zoning had acted on previously and two that they had not.
The commission made recommendations only on the first two.
And one question I
can
I would
add some issues.
The legal counsel and our planning and zoning department, you're comfortable with how this one reads, and it's not there's no gray areas, it's not fuzzy, it's pretty clear. Anybody could interpret this.
Agree with the recommendations planning and zoning made that there was a typo on one, some quotation marks, and those things. I think that should be. When you look at that, you'd look at it as planning and zoning proposed it.
Okay. I have no problem then moving forward.
Okay. Mr. Lank, do you by any chance have the short title on that you could read?
Yes, sir. An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 1 relating to definitions regarding manufactured homes.
I'll make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
As amended by
P&Z.
Second, please.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the ordinance. Is there any further discussion? I will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and the reasons are the very same reasons that the Planning and Zoning Commission gave.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes with agreeing with the Planning and Zoning's recommendation.
Mr. Vincent?
Based on their recommendation and the fact that a lot of these things need to be as they're doing cleaned up, so it all says the same thing. I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. It's good that we're getting to this finally. Motion carried.
Okay, at this point, we will conduct a public hearing on the next matter. Mr. Lank, could you read that, please?
Yes. The second ordinance amendment was an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 25, 115-187C, regarding the gross floor area of manufactured homes. For the record, in the public hearing on September 23rd of 2010, I summarize this ordinance amendment, which makes this subsection of the code consistent with other portions of the code which reference 450 square feet, and that this ordinance amendment was based on an approved recommendation from the Manufactured Housing Committee. The current code references a minimum gross area of a mobile home as being 400 square feet within a mobile home park. Commission found during the public hearing that there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the ordinance amendment. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the ordinance amendment. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of ordinance amendment for Chapter 115, gross floor area manufactured homes, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this amendment is a result of meetings and recommendations from a manufactured housing committee that included representatives from Sussex County, park owners, and homeowners. Two, the amendment makes Section 187C of the code that references 450 square feet as a minimum size for a manufactured home. Motion and seconded and carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. There was no additional comments on that ordinance amendment. The ordinance made reference originally back in the 70s to a 400 square foot in a manufactured, in a mobile home park then, now a manufactured home park, and 450 square foot anywhere else. And we felt it to be consistent to be 450. I don't know that there's a 400 square footer even built today. Probably not a 450 square footer.
I bet there's park models.
Not considered a manufactured home, considered a camper or an RV or whatever.
When do we know when a park model becomes not a park model?
Park model to park model.
But how do you know?
It's registered with motor vehicle as a travel trailer.
What if Motor V started giving it another designation or something?
Then we'd have to change our ordinance to make sure that we have it covered, which we're working on trying to get that data. We talked about that before.
Yeah, the park models are interesting units.
Park models are close to 400 square foot.
You're darn right.
And when you throw in the tip outs, and if you count their square footage,
I mean, they could easily make 400. They could easily make one 450 feet, and people will be living in
close.
Them. Right.
Really could be close.
So we've got. I keep saying we got to deal with these park models.
The park model probably should be the dimension as they travel on the road without the tip outs would probably be, they're probably less than 400.
Yeah, they still need special, special permits to go down the road. They're not road ready. They're not like a camper or these other RVs when you think of RVs.
Very few individuals can tow their own park model.
No.
Have to be done by the company that specializes in that purpose.
Right. Well, they're not permitted on the highways without some kind of special permit or something. Mm-hmm. All right.
Are there any other questions from council of Mr. Lang before I ask the public?
Was there any discussion that you know of with the ad hoc committee? Was there any, or were there any problems with this change that you know of?
No, not with this one.
Okay.
Or little.
All right.
Any other questions from council? We'll let the record note that the previous comments made by the speakers, they asked that they be general comments for all the hearings, and we'd like to reflect that in the record.
So this is another housekeeping, right? Just basically housekeeping, bringing everything into compliance. If you're going to live somewhere, if you're going to live somewhere, you at least got to have 450 square feet in this county.
That's correct.
Okay. Pretty tiny.
Out the campers.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone that would like to speak?
No.
Seeing none, Mr. President, I feel it would be appropriate to close the record on this matter, and if you desire, if I could read the short title.
To be without objection. Please do.
Okay, an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article XXV 25, Sections 115-187C, relating to gross floor area of manufactured homes.
Entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the ordinance, as read by council. Any discussion? Take the vote, Ms. Deaver.
Yes, and for the reasons specified by Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes, on the recommendations of Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, it's a housekeeping measure.
Mr. Benson?
Based on Planning and Zoning's recommendations and reasons, and the fact that it is a housekeeping, I'll vote yes.
I vote yes as well. It seems appropriate. Motion carried. Mr. Moore?
Mr. Lank, for the next ordinance, please.
The next ordinance amendment is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 24, 115-172G, relating to conditional uses regarding manufactured homes. On the 23rd of September 2010, during the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission, I summarized the ordinance amendment, which is intended to clarify regulations regarding accessory buildings and manufactured home parks. This ordinance amendment also adds to the code regulations regarding handicap ramps. The sentence in subsection 115-172G7 was deleted, as it is covered in the proposed new subsection 14. This ordinance amendment was based on an approved recommendation from the Manufactured Housing Committee. Mr. Robertson stated that if the ordinance amendment is recommended for approval, subsection 13 should be amended to clarify that the reference to accessory buildings being previously permitted references by Sussex County, and that subsection 14 should be amended to clarify in the first line that the handicap ramps are for emergency purposes and that permanent ramps be required to comply with setbacks. We had 6 speakers which spoke in reference to the ordinance amendment. Mark Messner of West Bay Park Manufactured Home Park supported the reference to 5-foot setbacks from property lines for accessory buildings and a proposed 10-foot spacing between accessory buildings, and that steps and landings in flood zone areas cannot comply with the current code, since the landings have to be elevated to the floor level and it takes more steps to get down to grade since the homes are elevated based on the flood zone requirements. Patricia Weil questioned the setbacks. Susan Lauchy stated that other counties do not apply setbacks to sheds under a maximum square footage and gave an example being 600 square feet, and that she questioned the difference between a nonconforming lot and a nonconforming improvement. Mr. John Morris of Camelot Mobile Home Manufactured Home Park referenced that there are several handicap ramps in Camelot Mobile Manufactured Home Park. Jeannie Siss referenced that she does not have a problem with the existing code, that there are some difficulties with sheds, that the proposed ordinance amendments were written for 5,000 square foot lot, not nonconforming lots, that there should not be a need for variances for sheds, that this ordinance amendment should be readdressed, that a shed should be identified by building permit only, that improvement should be required to comply with a 10-foot front yard setback, that the landowner, park owner should identify the lot boundaries and approve the location of the shed, and then the tenant should be allowed to get a permit. Bobby Hemrick stated that the county employees need a refresher course on what permits are required, since several people have stated that they have been told by county employees that permits are not needed for sheds and some other improvements. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment. Mr. Robertson stated that this ordinance amendment has received a lot of discussion and that clarity may be necessary on some of the issues, that we may need to address the difference between permanent and temporary handicap ramps, and therefore there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to allow the commission time to review the testimony in the minutes of the Manufactured Housing Committee, and that motion carried 4-0. In addition to Dixie Boucher's comments, which Mr. Moore addressed earlier, they are part of the record. They should be included in the record on this ordinance. I also received today from Patty Weil ordinance or a letter in reference to this ordinance and the last ordinance being the variances. And it states, I'm writing in reference to the ordinance listed above. They are scheduled for discussion on the agenda date and time above, also listed above. I'm a resident of a manufactured housing. I think it is very important to identify a shed as a structure and makes reference to the number two on the agenda. It takes up the footprint of the lease lot and needs to be recognized as such because of the code. The current code does not allow placement of a structure in excess to exceed more than 35%. Many times with residents and landowners, a shed is placed without it being calculated into the usage of the lot because of the current interpretation of the word shed. Placement of some of these sheds exceeds the 35%, creating many issues such as stormwater runoff. In a recent Cape Gazette article, Jeannie Sisk of Sierra stated, and this is in quotations, not one of our accessory buildings in the back can fit this, she said, and again in quotations, so now we need to get the variance for every one of them. We can't do that. Unfortunately, I do not agree. I don't think ordinances need to be changed because a lot doesn't have room for a shed. Buy a smaller home. You cannot put this enormous homes or these enormous homes on the lot and add to the home time and time again and then get upset if a shed doesn't fit. If a shed is not considered a structure, abuse will continue to happen and others will suffer the consequences. Let's stop taking up everyone's valuable time over the last year about a shed issue and let's just make it simple. Approve the verbiage for the word shed, then it will not be open for interpretation. So I'm asking the commission to please accept the explanation of a shed to be in the code as proposed and makes reference to ordinance amendment chapter 115, conditional use manufactured homes. And thank you for your time. Sincerely, Patty Walk. Unless there any comments I have.
Are there any questions from council members? If not, and again, I would like the record reflect, as Mr. Lank alluded to, that the letter that was previously read and the testimony of the two persons from before will be made part of the record of this hearing as well. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this matter? If not, then Mr. President, I believe it'd be appropriate to close the public hearing on this matter. And as noted, Planning and Zoning has not acted on this at this point.
That being the case, I would seek council's deferral motion.
I believe that it would be appropriate to defer this matter.
And leave the record open because they may come back with some other comments we may need have to discuss.
As far as the public hearing is closed, but the record could be left open for that.
If they make any other changes, wouldn't it be appropriate to have the public comment on those?
It depends
changes?
What they are, because we don't know, but it may be such that if they wanted significant changes, that we would need a new public hearing.
Well, I'm saying if we don't leave it open and leave the everything open, public hearing and everything open, how would we know if there's a change that we felt that was warranted unless we have the ability to open it later on again? Are you gonna
a majority vote can reopen?
To be honest, we have not.
Not even raise a question. I don't have any problem with. Again, I don't see a whole lot of input anyway from what this public hearing. So, I think we ought to just leave it open, leave the public hearing, everything open, and just continue it because then we might hear something and we might have a few more comments and we can move on, make a better decision. So, I don't mind leaving everything open. That would be my suggestion.
But depending upon what planning and zoning determines, if it would be significant changes and that materially change what was advertised, we would need to re-advertise. Oh. We could not just say we're going to continue a public hearing.
Well, that'd be fine. We'll have to wait, but I would just leave everything open, see what they do. If they make some substantial changes, then we got to scrap it all. But I still think that even if they make some other changes, I think it's appropriate to, on this issue, just to keep it open. It doesn't seem that controversial. I don't think I have any problem with doing it.
My Robert's rules aren't that strong, but can we leave a public hearing open after we recess a council meeting?
I would prefer to see a public hearing closed, and then you could leave the record open. If it turns out that it is something that you need additional comment, then re-advertise for additional public comment.
Well, how long is that going to take?
Well, if you make a material change in it, you need to do that anyway.
And start over.
Yeah,
I know. I understand all that, but I'm just.
Planning and zoning's record still open?
The commission, the record was, the public hearing was closed. The record's open for those specifics. On this one, they stated
what the problem is.
That the defer action for further consideration to allow the commission time to review the testimony and the minutes of the Manufactured Housing Committee, which they were provided copies.
That was for a specific purpose.
Right.
Oh.
Okay. You want to try making a motion, Mr. Cole?
I still think we ought to just leave everything open. That we can just, and we've done it before, I think, ever. I mean, not when you've been here, but we have done this before, where we just kind of leave the record, everything open. We have just a continuation of the public hearing once we get their recommendations. We'll just continue it on.
So he is asking for a suspension of the public hearing?
Continuation, or I don't.
That sounds to me what the request is.
Okay.
And that would go back to advertising again?
No.
When will we reconvene the public hearing would be my next question.
Get a recommendation from the commission first.
After that, then it gets put on, and once it puts on the agenda, it'll be on the agenda again as a continuation of this hearing.
So Mr. Cole's motion is to suspend the public hearing until which time Planning and Zoning has made a recommendation, at which time council with a majority vote can reconvene the public hearing. Is that possible, Mr. Moore, without re-advertising?
Frankly, I don't know.
Well, I thought what we were doing was closing the public hearing.
Well, that's one suggestion.
And what you want to do is simply leave the record open, which is two separate issues.
We've done it before, Mike, where we just haven't got all the information. We just leave everything open, and it's a continuation. Once we get the recommendation back, we just open this back up where we left off, which would be right now. And then we go on with whatever comments we get, and then we boom. It's not going to take any longer. It's not going to be any big hassle, gentlemen, ladies.
But there's a legal issue, Mr. Cole.
No, there isn't. If somebody can show me a legal issue, I'll take it. But I don't think there is.
It's the issue of re-advertising. The public hearing was advertised for today at 1:30. And the question is, if you have another continuation of the public hearing.
It'll be advertised. Okay, here's how it's advertised. It's advertised by being placed on the agenda, which is advertised a week in advance. That's the notice that it's back again to the public. So we've done it before.
I have a problem with simply re-advertising a public hearing by simply placing it on the agenda. I believe that you have to actually give notice of a public hearing itself.
Right. 30 days.
That'd be my opinion. Same.
Period of time.
Let's wait and see what Planning and Zoning comes up with.
Okay. Mr. Cole's desire is to allow the public to comment following the recommendation of Planning and Zoning. Is there a mechanism that we can employ short of re-advertising the public hearing? And the answer is we don't know just yet.
If you reopen the record, you'd have to advertise it because you're opening up for public input again.
That's correct.
But Lawrence is a great historian. Lawrence, how have we handled this in the past? We have done this where we've just basically left everything open and started up in a week or 2 weeks or whatever down the road. We have done that.
Once or twice. That's about it.
That's what I'm saying. We have done it, and it didn't seem to cause a problem, so I don't know how.
Once or twice. That's about
it. How recent was that?
I just can't. I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
What this council has done is closed the public hearing and left the record open a couple of times. Or he'd never extended the public hearing.
Can we leave the record open for public written testimony?
Sure.
Okay. Isn't that satisfying?
That'll be fine. Okay. All right, do that. Let's do that. We'll get off because for some reason you're all... Don't
what
do
you
it
normally do is give a time limit, Mr. Phelps.
No, we've done it. We've done it. Not many times. No, we've done it. Not many times, but we have done it, and it hasn't caused any problems. But I don't care. Let's move on.
Your hero,
Mr. Phelps.
Oliver Hill may
have done it. Oliver used to do it all the time.
I'm sure he did.
Mr. Phelps, can I interject here?
Yes, Mr.
What you normally do, you defer action pending receipt of recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and you have on several occasions... put a number of days after the commission's recommendation is received. So what we have to do, the commission makes a recommendation. I come into a Tuesday and give you a report of what the recommendation was under additional business, old business, and then you're not there to act on it. You're there to set a date 30 days after that date or 10 days or whatever.
To accept now this
written comments.
Okay.
Do that.
That's normal.
Okay. We can do that.
Can you couch that in a
Probably
motion?
Not.
No. Okay, missed.
Wait, he's writing. We'll make a motion to close the public hearing, leave the record open for written comment.
At a point in time to be determined.
Oh, right. We'll just leave it at that. Right.
That sound right about?
And that's
about
how, and then after his report, we will then establish a time frame for receiving the written comments. Okay.
Okay. So that's what we're trying to do, I think. I mean,
yeah. We can do that. Yeah. No, I was just going to leave the public open. Instead of written comments, they could come in, say it, and get it over with real quick, and boom. But we'll torture everybody into it this way.
Torture
them. Okay. I'll write a book, I think.
Let's hear it, Mr. Lank.
What's the number of days you'd prefer?
I don't know if we need 30 days on this issue, but I'd say 20 probably would be sufficient. There's only a handful of people who are going to be interested in it and then get their comments.
Well, if you make it 10 working days, that's 2 weeks. But use working days.
That'd be fine. 2 weeks would be sufficient, I think.
I probably wrote this too long.
Whatever you read, I'll read it, and I'll introduce it.
I recommend that County Council close the public record, or close the public hearing, excuse me, and leave the record open for the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission and for written public comments 10 working days after the introduction of those comments to County Council.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second to proceed as articulated by Mr. Lank. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
And Mr. Lank, be sure and save that language. We might need it on the next one as well.
And thank you for your support.
Yes.
The next ordinance amendment is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 27, 115-211 relating to variances. The county... Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application for ordinance amendment on September 23rd of 2010. I summarize the ordinance amendment, which is intended to clarify that an adjoining property to a property that has received an approved variance in a manufactured home park shall not have to apply for a variance if the adjoining property replaces an accessory building or improvement with one of the same size, as long as setback requirements are met. And that this ordinance amendment was based on an approved recommendation of the Manufactured Housing Committee. Mr. Robertson stated that Section 1 of the proposed ordinance amendment should reference subsection 115-211, not 115-121. And then on the second line of subsection 211H, it should be noted that the reference to an accessory building should also reference one that was previously permitted by Sussex County. And that there may be some need for clarification on this ordinance amendment with the county attorney that prepared the document. For example, as currently written, it seems to address the need for building separation since compliance with setbacks will still be required. If that is the intent, it should be more clearly stated. We had 10 parties that spoke on this ordinance. Patty Wall stated that this, they purchased their lot with the shed as it is placed, and that when she replaces the shed, it will conform to regulations. That her neighbor has a permitted shed on his lot, but the shed was placed in error and does not conform to regulations, and that the improvements on that lot are considered nonconforming, and that all sheds should be considered important and should be required to conform to setback requirements. I'm looking for names. Let me see. Ron Motti of Bay City Manufacturer Home Park questioned the difference between setbacks and separation between improvements. Susan Lauchi questioned why so many variances are being granted and why the tenant should be required to apply for variances and the need for registered surveys with applications. John Morris made reference to inspections, variances, park owner management responsibilities, and questioned the placement of buildings not permitted without the need for variances. To bear with me, I should have put these names in the scene. Annette Perry of Potnets stated that when she acquired her lot, the marketing agent showed her where her lot lines were by marking a spot with her foot and striding off the dimensions, and that when the lot was finally monumented, her lot is actually larger. Bobby Hemrick stated that one of the purposes of the Manufactured Housing Committee was to establish clear text in the code, question the difference between conforming and nonconforming manufactured home parks, stated that Sierra Village Manufactured Home Park was originally intended for single-wide units and that some of the units had small porches and decks, and that the original intent of the park was not for double-wide manufactured homes. Elaine Campbell questioned what the landowner or park owner is required to do and why all the county regulations appear to be directed at the lot tenants. Responded that the landowner and park owners are required to follow the same regulations plus additional ones affecting the park. Eleanor L. Camelot questioned or suggested that the county should provide a brochure referencing the regulations and require the park management to maintain the brochures for distribution to the tenants when building and placement permits are being requested. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment. Mr. Robertson questioned or requested time to review this ordinance amendment and to discuss the ordinance amendment with the county attorney that drafted the document. Mr. Smith made a motion, and it was seconded by Mr. Johnson and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration by the commission and for Mr. Robertson to research the drafting of this ordinance amendment, and that motion carried 4-0. Ms. Boucher's comments, again, will be a part of the record for this public hearing, as will Mrs. Wiles. That'd be made a part of the record. That's all I have. Okay.
Thank you. So, any questions from council?
So if a variance is granted for a shed to be closer than 5 feet to the property line on one side, and on the other side, the other resident's shed is then not 10 feet away from that shed, that person doesn't have to get a variance in order to replace their shed. Is that right?
That was the intent, as long as it was it was a permitted shed.
As long as it
was. Or whatever it is. It could be a unit even.
Yeah, but as long as it was permitted originally.
Right.
Okay.
That's the intent. And the wording, there were some little issues. There's some issues with the wording, and Mr. Robertson was researching it with the attorney that prepared the document.
Okay.
Yes, and Mr. Robertson and Mr. Vanderslice have discussed that.
And the commission is for the record for the public too. It's on the agenda for Thursday evening for discussion and possible vote of the commission. So you might get your comments pretty readily if they take action on Thursday. I do note that there may be one of the commissioners absent, so there may not be a vote. We'll know till Thursday for sure.
Are there any other questions from council?
Is there any reason, Lawrence, maybe you could answer more than ever, as we've gotten to this point in our history, why, like with variances in these parks, why we always put the burden on the lot renter, you know, lessee, as opposed to the property owner? I mean,
we probably could have avoided a lot of this if we put the burden on property owners. Maybe they would have then state or put monuments and where these lots are, and we would have better, you know, fixes on things. And I mean, is there any way that as we go forward that variances in manufactured housing parks should only be applied for through the owner of the property?
It could be done that way.
I mean, to me, it seems like
it's just been over history.
If the property owner sees a certain way he wants his lot or his park to develop, they ought to, you know, be making all the decisions. Then if there's any surveys and all this other stuff needed, it's their land. They should have had these surveys done, not putting this burden on things. So is there any way that we could amend this or somehow to add that, or would that be a substantial change that just clarifying that variances being applied for in manufactured parks, now that we got a new definition for that, would be by the property owner only?
I don't think that's going to take away rights of those.
Well, wait, the property owner has the rights.
Okay, so that means
you're somebody, a property rights guy, right?
So somebody that has a home on somebody else's land cannot apply for a variance.
Doesn't say that.
Well, that's what Mr.
No, I'm saying the park, the people who own the property, the real property. In other words, if I want a variance on my piece of property, I have to do it.
Okay.
So the person who owns or the entity that owns that land, they ought to be making the applications, not these individuals. Because then you would all of a sudden, first of all, you would know the park would be supportive of it. That'd be the first thing. And again, it would be in if they have a plan for the development of this and how they want things placed, which they always typically do. It would be controlled, but then we've been putting burdens of these little things like a survey is needed. That's $300, $400, $500 or something like that.
I find a lot of people, George, that live in these mobile home parks, and a few people, not a lot, that just think they come to a point they own the land, they don't borrow or discuss it with the park owner, they just go get the shed and put it where they want to put it.
Well,
where the problem comes in. They should have referred back to the park owner.
Well, anyway, my recommendation would be that all variances in manufactured housing parks would be made by the property owner.
So doesn't the homeowner become hostage of the property owner at that point?
Well, I mean, in a sense, they are. They're renting their land anyway. I mean, they are. It's a business relationship that they've created. It's a contractual thing that they're on this land. I'm just saying, we're putting a financial burden, shifting it to this mobile home unit owner who's rented the land, assuming it, you know, I shouldn't have all these extra costs anyway. And we just keep putting the costs on them, and the people who own the land are escaping burden. So I think anyway. Also, these parks may go in and say, okay, let's get it surveyed. Let's get these lots surveyed and monumented or whatever they do. But the survey is something we've been requiring for a variance, and they're not even the property owner.
Mr. Cole, one of the things during the discussion, I sat on the committee, as did Mr. Lank, and one of the items I brought up one day for discussion was the possibility of, on certain things concerning all these variances, if the lot owner or the park owner and if the person who wanted the variance and their neighbor just signed off and came in and just got, paid a fee to the county. And instead of going through all this, if it was approved, and that was a non-starter, we had some discussions over it, but that was not one of the items that was approved to go forward at this time. But, you know, that was discussed.
Well, that would get all parties involved, basically.
And let everyone sign off. But this was an attempt, because right, there's a real issue if one person gets a variance and moves closer, because this is really the only place in the code where you not only have the setback from your sideline, but also your distance between the dwellings or the units to prevent someone from being harmed by the fact that their neighbor got a variance and moved closer. So that was the intent on this. Correct, well, Mr. Lang?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, normally the park owner has a vision for his park, what he wants to look like, the appearance he's trying to, you know, make, and who he's trying to appeal to. You know, so if he wants something real upscale, he's appealing. Anyway, let's put them in the driver's seat, make them come in for all the variances, and they can have a better control over what goes in and what type of shed and everything else. I mean, I just think it seems to be the property owner should do it.
And if there's a survey needed, the property owner pays for it.
Okay, but we have a public hearing today on this matter, and...
Well, it's been deferred. It'll be deferred, so we can't make any decision. I'm just wondering, is there a way we could do anything with this current ordinance to put in there that all variances in manufactured housing part will be, you know, made by the thing?
I believe that would be a material change in this, we would have to re-advertise.
Yeah. All right.
And again, what if the park owner didn't want to do it?
Well, they own the land.
Refuse.
Well, that's their park. They're the property owner. I'm just saying, somewhere you've got a way. Somebody's going to have a little bit more weight than the other, and I guess the property owner should probably be the one that's carrying the most weight in the whole issue because he is the property owner.
Mr. Cole, why don't we go ahead with the public hearing at this point? And as Mr. Lang said, there were some previous comments made. I would like those to remain in the record. I believe that you had indicated, did you need to say something as well? Or just your record? Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All positive, I think.
Hi, my name's Sandy Spence, and I attended some of the ad hoc hearings, and I attended the planning and zoning hearing on these ordinances. First of all, I'm concerned about this whole process because of the fact that it's already been stated that the ordinances were not sent back to the ad hoc committee for them to review. It's particularly an issue on this one because there's so much question about this one. The planning and zoning hasn't yet finalized their consideration at the hearing. I'm just making my personal observation, but my impression was that the ordinance was drafted in such a way that even Mr. Robertson wasn't very clear about what it really was going to do. And so they sent it back, as you've heard. In council this morning, I was watching over the internet, and I understood that somebody stated that those who testified at planning and zoning could speak this afternoon to express their points of view. But the fact is that a lot of people work in the daytime and can't come to an afternoon hearing. And I believe that's one of the reasons that there's only a handful of people here. And the summary statements that you heard were more, some of them said, well, so-and-so questioned this, but they didn't. The summary didn't state what the issue was and what the person's opinion was about the question. And I just think there's so much confusion about this one, including the confusion that existed at planning and zoning, that you shouldn't continue to act on this hearing, on this particular ordinance. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone else? If not, I believe, Mr. President, it'd be appropriate to close the public hearing on this matter.
Okay. We will close the public hearing. Mr. Cole, you may want to try to repeat.
Well, the same wording, if Mr. Lank would read that, what we did last time, I'll make the same motion.
What I read earlier was that it would be a recommendation that County Council close the public hearing, leave the record open for the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission and for written public comments 10 working days after introduction of those recommendation to the County Council.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion and second to move forward as read by Mr. Lank. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries.
That concludes the public hearings, Mr. Phillips.
Okay. Any further comments from Council? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move you.
Second.
What time is it?
Anything else? No?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. I mean, aye, yeah, I forgot.